Giribaradhari Jai Radha. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Giribaradhari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Hare Rama Ram Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Jayo Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radhe Jayo Shri Gaurang Jayo Shri Gaurang Shri Gaurang Jayo Shri Gaurang Jayo Radha Madana Mohan Lalita Devi Jayo Radha Madana Mohan Lalita Devi Jayo Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jayo Giri Govardhan. Jayo Prabhupada, Jayo Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Shri Naam Sankirtan Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavind Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om de Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Verse 13. Saikada himavato dakshineshvata sanushu dadarsha navabhirdvarbhi puram lakshita lakshanam. Saikada himavato dakshineshvata sanushu dadarshanavabhirdvarbhi 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 puram lakshita lakshanam. Matajis. Saikada himavato dakshineshvata sanushu dadarshanavabhirdvarbhi puram lakshita lakshanam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Once, while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of the Himalayas, in a place named Bharatvarsha, India, in bracket, a city that had 9 gates all about and was characterized by all auspicious facilities. Purport. The tract of land south of the Himalaya mountains is the land of India, which is known as Bharatvarsha. When a living entity takes birth in Bharatvarsha, he is considered to be most fortunate. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated, Bharat Bhumite Hoila Manushya Janma Yar, Janma Sarthaka Kori Kara Paropkar. Thus, whoever takes birth in the land of Bharatvarsha attains all the facilities of life. He may take advantage of all these facilities for both material and spiritual advancement and thus make his life successful. After attaining the goal of life, one may distribute his knowledge and experience all over the world for humanitarian purposes. In other words, one who takes birth in the land of Bharatvarsha by virtue of his past pious activities gets full facility to develop the human form of life. In India, the climatic condition is such that one can live very peacefully without being disturbed by material conditions. Indeed, during the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira or Lord Ramchandra, people were free from all anxieties. There was not even extreme cold or extreme heat. The 3 kinds of miserable conditions, adhyatmika, adibhautika, and adidaivika, miseries inflicted by the body and mind itself, those inflicted by other living entities and natural disturbances, were all absent during the reign of Lord Ramchandra or Maharaj Yudhisthira. But at present, compared to other countries on earth, India is artificially disturbed. Despite these material disturbances, however, the country's culture is such that one can easily attain the goal of life, namely salvation or liberation from material bondage. Thus, in order to take birth in India, one must have performed many pious activities in past life. In this verse, the word Lakshita Lakshanam indicates that the human body attained in Bharatvarsha is very auspicious. Vedic culture is full of knowledge, and a person born in India can fully take advantage of Vedic cultural knowledge and the cultural system known as Varnashram Dharma. Even at the present time, as we travel all over the world, we see that in some countries, human beings have many material facilities, but no facilities for spiritual advancement. We find everywhere the defects of one-sided facilities and a lack of full facilities. A blind man can walk but not see, and a lame man cannot walk but see. Andha Pangu Nyaya. The blind man may take the lame man over his shoulder, and as he walks, the lame man may give him directions. Thus combined, they may work, but individually, neither the blind man nor the lame man can walk successfully. Similarly, this human form of life is meant for the advancement of spiritual life and for keeping the material necessities in order. Especially in the Western countries, there are ample facilities for material comforts, but no one has any idea of spiritual advancement. Many are hankering after spiritual advancement, but many cheaters come, take advantage of their money, bluff them, and go away. Fortunately, the Krishna consciousness movement is there to give all facilities for both material and spiritual advancement. In this way, people in the Western countries may take advantage of this movement. In India, any man in the villages, unaffected by the industrial cities of India, can still live in any condition and make spiritual advancement. The body has been called the city of 9 gates. And these 9 gates include 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 1 mouth, a genital, and a rectum. When the 9 gates are clean and working properly, it is to be understood that the body is healthy. In India, these 9 gates are kept clean by the villagers, who rise early in the morning, bathe in the well or rivers, go to the temples to attend Mangal Aarti, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and take prasad. In this way, one can take advantage of all the facilities of human life. We are gradually introducing this system in different centers in our society in the Western countries. One who takes advantage of it becomes more and more enlightened in spiritual life. At the present moment, India may be compared to the lame man and the Western countries to the blind man. For the past 2000 years, India has been subjugated by the rule of foreigners, and the legs of progress have been broken. In the Western countries, the eyes of the people have become blind due to dazzling glitter of material opulence. The blind man of the Western countries and the lame man of India should combine together in this Krishna consciousness movement. Then the lame man of India can walk with the help of the Westerner, and the blind Westerner can see with the help of the lame man. In short, the material advancement of the Western countries and the spiritual assets of India should combine for the elevation of all human society. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Asmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Mena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauravaktavrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this, so we'll be discussing shlokas from 13 to 19, seeking blessings from all the Vaishnavas. So that I could speak something worth hearing. So finally, our Puranjan, King Puranjana, the story which is narrated by Shri Narad Muni. If you see, Narad Muni is a wonderful preacher. Whenever and wherever he gets the opportunity to preach, he preaches, and he preaches in such a way that it hits the exact sweet spot where the conditioned soul is inspired to surrender himself to the Supreme Lord. So this is an art of preaching which is shown by Narad Muni here. As Gaurang Prabhu says, different shlokas from different shlokas for different folks. So similarly, Narad Muni is showing us the same. I remember one example given by Srila Prabhupada. He tells this story. There was a Christian priest who wanted to preach. So once he went, there were so many workers sitting, and they was all were working in the mines. So the Christian priest went there and directly told them, "You all should take shelter of Jesus. Otherwise, you all will go to hell." So there was no reaction from their side. So the priest thought, like, there is some problem with these people. They are not afraid of hell, which is so dangerous. Then he tried to explain that the hell is very dark, very damp. If you don't take shelter of Jesus, you will go to hell. So the miners started asking him, "Who is Jesus? What is his number?" Because those miners had their number. Each and everybody had their billa, what you call them, the number. So they're asking, "Which person is this? I have never seen this." So he told them, "No, it is very dark and damp." Still there was no reaction from them. Then he tried, I understood that because they're already living in such a situation, it is of no use telling the same situation which they will be going to there. So he understood, and then he gave the idea that there are no newspapers at all. So then they got worried, "Oh my God, there are no newspapers." Very horrible, very horrible. So in this way, Narad Muni is connecting to different people in the entire series of Bhagavatam. If you see in all the 12 cantos, there are many devotees whom Narad Muni approached. According, he approached even Kamsa just to accelerate the appearance of Lord Krishna. So ultimately, he wanted his liberation also. But in that case, it was a different way in how he preached Kamsa and accelerated the appearance of the Lord. So in this way, we can see Text 13 talks about King Puranjan consequently traveling all over the world and finally finding a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. And that place was on the southern side of Himalayas. So from this we can understand specifically, till now he was wandering in the world. Basically he was wandering in different types of bodies, which is the allegory given by Narad Muni. Puranjan as a king is an allegorical character. So he was going through so many bodies, but ultimately he was not happy in any of these bodies. And finally he is getting this human body, human form of life, where he is finding this city. King Puranjan found this city. And of course, human body is a junction. And Srila Prabhupada also tells in the purport that this Bharatvarsha, because he found this place in Bharatvarsha, so Prabhupada glorifies the importance of Bharatvarsha, because not anyone and everyone take birth in the land of Bharatvarsha. Only those who already have piety in their previous lives can take birth in the land of Bharatvarsha. But even after taking in the birth in the land of Bharatvarsha, or you can say even the best of the material arrangements cannot guarantee devotional service. Because here we can see, even though King Puranjan is getting the best of the material facilities, but in the future also we will see, he will not be able to take up to the devotional service of the Lord. So even the best of the material arrangements cannot guarantee devotional service. So basically, a human form of life is a very important junction, because what we can do in human form of life, we cannot do in other species. So with, as the English saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility, or with great position comes great responsibility. So basically, one should strive for self-realization in this human form of life, just like Shukdev Goswami says, Neha yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirthapada sevaya jivan api mrito hisa. So in the human form of life, one should work oneself. One should work in such a way as to elevate oneself to religious life. And that religious life should lead to Neha yat karma dharmaya, that dharmaya na viragaya kalpate. If it is not leading to viragaya kalpate, that is renunciation. And even if it is leading to renunciation, na tirthapada sevaya, that renunciation is not leading to tirthapada sevaya, devotional service of the Lord, then such a human form of life is of no use. That means he is dead, although breathing in the human body. So we can see King Puranjan is exposed to this city, the allegorical character. Just the Narad Muni is trying to explain King Prachina Bari, so as to forcefully take him out of this material slumber. So, as we say, there is a saying in English that we can fool all people sometime. It's possible. Some people all the time, but not all the people all the time. But Maya Devi, or the illusory energy of the Lord, is empowered in such a way that she can fool all the people all the times. And she has been doing in lifetimes after lifetimes for each and every jiva. And still the jiva is not able to understand his actual nature. So basically, she is empowered to disempower us from even slight inclination towards Krishna. So she is happy to keep us happy in these small things, which are not related to Krishna in any way. So there are innumerable conditioned souls rotting in this material world, imprisoned by Maya, under this spell of sense gratification. And how she is doing this? She is doing it with her two main forces. One is the Avaranatmika Shakti, and the other is Prakshepatmika Shakti. Avaranatmika means, just as Shyamanand Prabhu tells, suddenly somebody blindfolds you. Now you have no sense of direction. Now only thing is, somebody should tell you where the direction is. And then Maya tells, okay, now you are blindfolded, go in this direction. So that is a prakshepatmika. If you see, there is a concept of VR reality, or virtual reality. They have those goggles for gaming. People, there is a space, or you can say a hall or something, where people put on those goggles and start playing. Actually, there is nothing there. It is a completely vacant hall. But once they put on the goggles, they can see each and every character. There are so many characters. They start fighting, they start shooting, and all these things. So in actuality, there is nothing present. But because of those goggles, they think, okay, I am in an arena now. Situation in such a way that where I have to fight, otherwise I will die. And they start fighting. And you can see people running here and there, sitting here, hiding somewhere. So this is what the illusory energy of the Lord does. It first blindfolds and then gives a senses in a direction opposite to that where the jiva is actually intended to. So Narottam Das Thakur also says, Ahankare matta hoya nitai pada pasariya asatyera satya kurimani. So out of the false ego, due to the force of the false ego, that is the part of the prakshepatmika shakti, which the illusory, the Maya Devi has induced in the jiva, asatyera satya kurimani. So whichever is not present, that he considers as the reality. I can remember one boy from our locality when I was small. There. So he had this stammering problem. So he would always feel guilty that he cannot speak properly, or whenever he speaks, everybody laughs at him. So he wanted to show that he is also some like other people, normal. It's not like that he cannot do anything which other people can do. So we had this time of Diwali where people burst crackers. So he was there. So if you remember those big bombs, Rassi bomb or whatever you call it, those bombs had that green threads fully. So we were accustomed to blasting those bombs. So we would just take in hand, blast it, and that incense sticks, agarbatti se laga ke, then we would just throw it and it would blast it in the air, of course. So this guy who had this stammering problem, he had phobia in all these things, basically. Stammering also, and at the same time, he would be fearful of so many things. So that day, he thought that he would impress us with his crackers bursting style. So he also went there. He took one incense stick, lighted it, and this atom bomb, whatever it's called, whichever bomb it was called that time. And we knew that something is going to happen. And we also started poking fun at him. Oh, no, suddenly something will happen. So everybody was trying to frighten him. So he was like, both the hands were shaking. And he was trying to, one hand he has incense stick and one hand he has bomb. And suddenly we shouted, lag gaya. And what he did, he lighted that, he threw the incense stick and he came running with the bomb. And then when the bomb blasted, he was deaf for next 2 days. He could not hear anything. So this is what the illusory energy of the Maya does. It's a complete hoax, actually. The way in which Maya, because we are not able to exercise our free will, it is influencing us in such a way each and every moment that even if we try to exercise our free will, it will be influenced by the power of Maya. And that ultimately will lead us to a wrong direction away from Krishna. So this is what we can see here. Puranjan, arriving in this city, so that is the human body, where he is seeing all the facilities given to him. So Prabhupada says, Bharat Bhumite Hoila Manushya Janmayar Janma Sarthak Kuri Kara Para Upkar. Prabhupada also describes how the East and West can meet together and try to get a deal so as that will be beneficial for both of them. One who is a lame person and one the other one who is a blind person. India is compared to a lame person and the West is compared to a blind person. Now this is not just, this is not just a blind renunciation. Srila Prabhupada is not telling, okay, India is good in spirituality. That does not mean it doesn't need material benefits. Of course, material benefits are required so that we can serve Krishna in such a way that everyone is accommodated in that part. As an individual, it may not be required, but as a collective unit, these things are required which help us serve Krishna in a better way. So this concept of Yukta Vairagya is told by Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is telling that the lame and the blind should come together and should combine for the elevation of all human society. Just like Prabhupada also, if you see, he gives this story, I think. Prabhupada tells this story. One man found one small piece of that string, pumpkin, one string and one then stick, some, and then he joined together and started playing it. So in this way, individually, it may not be so attractive, but ultimately when it comes together, it can be of a great service to the Lord. So in such a way, this next shloka, Prakaro pavanatala parikhai rakshatoranai swarnaraupya yasya shringai sankulam sarvato grihai. That city was surrounded by walls and parks, and within it were towers, canals, windows and outlets. The houses there were decorated with domes made of gold, silver and iron. So here the walls are there, the city is there. So this walls is compared to nothing but skin, the human body. The human body and the city. The allegory is there. So the city is the human body and the walls are nothing but the skins. The parks in the city, they are compared to hairs on the human body. Towers, nothing but the raised parts of the body, like nose, head, those are the towers. Canals in the city, they are nothing but the depressions. Depressions or wrinkles, depressed parts of the body. And which are the windows? The windows are nothing but the eyes. The gates are nothing but the eyelids. Domes of gold, silver and iron. So of course three. So Prabhupada says it can be three modes of nature or the three different types of elements present in our body, that is kapha, vata and pitta. So getting into this city or a soul getting into this body considers, due to the influence of the material energy, that this body is all in all. So Srila Prabhupada tells in the purport, this shloka, yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke swadhikalatra adishubhaume ajjadi yatirta buddhi shalile nakarhichit ganeshwabigneshusa eva gochara. One who identifies his self as the inert body composed of mucus, bile and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. So basically, one who is identifying oneself with the body, not understanding the actual purpose of the human form of life. So ultimately, this person is no better than an animal. So here, if you see, in this body, in which the soul has come, so how to purify this? So the body, to purify the body, to purify the senses, Bhagavatam, in Shukdev Goswami tells in Bhagavatam, Kalena Snana Sauchabhyam, Samskare Tapasechaya, Shuddhyanti Dane Santushtya, Dravyani Atmatma Vidyaya. O king, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. So by time, all these external things get purified. By bathing, the body is purified. The external body can be purified by bathing and by being cleansed. By being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. By worship and charity offered to the Brahmanas, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. And by self-realization or Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. So ultimately, until and unless one takes to Krishna consciousness or the service of the Lord, the purification cannot take place. And even though a person is in the human, a soul is in the human body, still he will not make complete use of it. Next shloka, more analogies and more comparisons. Neelaspatika vaidurya mukta marakatarunai klipta harmyasthalim diptam shriya bhogavatim iva. The floors of the houses in that city were made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds and rubies. Because of the luster of the houses in the capital, the city was compared to the celestial town named Bhogavati. So this capital, the capital of the city, that is compared to the heart in the human body. And of course, the floors of sapphire, diamonds, rubies and other jewels. These different unlimited types of jewels are compared to the various desires and unlimited plans the soul, the jiva makes for material enjoyment. If you see, there are so many desires for the jiva. Because once the avaranatmika shakti and the prakshepatmika shakti, they set in, automatically the jiva has to desire in a certain way, whatever as per his surroundings. So the jiva desires and one desire leads to the other leads to the other. Just like there is a story, I think it is given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Brahmachari, for need of this, I think, milk or... there was a mouse, rat, yeah, Brahmana. Because he was trying to do penances and austerity and this rat was troubling him. Ultimately, for that rat, he had to bring the cat. And for that cat, the milk was needed. So he had to buy a cow. And for milking the cow, the entire family had to be, expanded in that way. So for small things, one leads to the other. And this desires just go on compounding until the jiva forgets that he was here for some other purpose, but ultimately lost the way. And text 16, Sabha Chatvara Ratyabhir Akridayatana Pane Chaitya Dhvaja Patakabhir Yuktam Vidruma Vedhivi. In that city, there were many assembly houses, street crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons and beautiful parks. All this surrounded the city. Again, the assembly houses is the compared to heart because it is the center of remembrance, forgetfulness and deliberation. Street crossings and streets are the thing but the different airs flowing in our body in different directions. Flags and festoons are compared to palms and soles of feet. The gambling houses as compared to gross location of senses. And the market is compared to brain. So in this way, there are different comparisons given. City is compared to the human body in which the soul resides. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also surrounding that lake were many group of birds and bees that were always chanting and humming. Now these beautiful trees, creepers and birds humming around the lake, that is compared to the favorable conditions for sex impulse. Because this, if you see, one, the jiva, the main force which is binding the jiva in this material world is nothing but the attraction of the opposite sex. So, just like Prabhupada says here, once the jiva attains youth, so automatically is sexually impelled by even seeing, touching, talking, or even just thinking about the opposite sex. So, Prabhupada writes, if a man in solitary place does not become agitated upon seeing a woman, he is considered to be a staunch brahmachari. But this is impossible. So that is why Shastras enjoin us not even to talk to women, even to the point of mother, daughter or sister in private places. So here Prabhupada tells us how this jiva is basically enchanted by the attraction of the opposite sex, and this jiva finally succumbs to the influence of maya in the form of opposite sex and just wastes his time in this human body and neglecting the actual part, that is the devotional service unto Supreme Lord Krishna. The branches of the trees standing on the bank of lake received particles of water carried by the spring air from the falls coming down from the icy mountain. So these winds, waterfall and spring air, all these are favorable conditions for the jiva. Because ultimately this world is made to make you continue the samsara. The samsara is made so that you continue in the same way without ever thinking about any devotional services. So, here if you see, different things, different arrangements are made. The wind is there, the waterfall is there, this spring air is there, which all ultimately attracts the conditioned soul. And finally, the 19th shloka, Nararanyam Riga Vrite, Anabande Muni Vrite, Ahutam Mannete Panto, Yatra Kokila Kujite. In such an atmosphere, even the animals of the forest become non-violent and non-envious like great sages. Consequently, the animals do not attack anyone. Over and above everything was the cooing of the cuckoos. Any passenger passing along that path was invited by that atmosphere to take rest in the nice garden. So here the non-violent animals, it is compared with no sinful reactions due to the pious results. So the animals are non-violent, that means there are no sinful reactions because of his pious activities that he had done in the previous life. Cooing cuckoos attracting travelers, that are compared to the persons which are attracting their own family members, like persons dividing their enjoyment amongst their family members, friends and relatives. So they are also enjoying, or they are also making others enjoy. Others in the sense, their extended family basically. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, sometimes however, if of course the family is a non-devotee, the wives and children are called Swajanakhya Dasyu, burglars in the name of kinsmen. A man earns his livelihood with hard labor, But the result is that he is plundered by his wife and children, exactly as a person in a forest is attacked by some thieves and burglars who take his money. Nonetheless, in family life, the turmoil of wife and children appears to be like the cooing of the cuckoos in the garden of family life. So even after so many things, still, the person thinks that he is enjoying, just like the example where a person is hanging on by a rope. He has fallen into the, he is just about to fall into the well. He is hanging on a rope. There are tigers on the above and below there are crocodiles in the well. And there are so many rats which are biting the ropes. So anytime he can fall, or even if he doesn't fall, there is no way he can escape out. But still there is a small drip of honey falling onto it from the tree. So that is enough. So even the material energy or the illusory energy of the Lord has made such arrangements that these things, the enjoyment part is enough for this conditioned soul to rot in this material existence forever. It is not too much, not too less. Not too less in the sense, if it is too less, then automatically the jiva comes to his senses and starts thinking that, okay, this is not my actual place. Why am I suffering? We have to give this device courses everywhere. You are suffering because people don't understand they are suffering until unless some devotees go there and tell them and think in that direction. Then they try thinking that. So basically, unless and until the illusory energy has made such an arrangement that minimum value of enjoyment is there, and that will keep them bound in this material world. And most, of course, the most important the element through which Maya bounds us is the mind. Automatically, the mind basically makes fantasy out of so many things which are not worth fantasizing about. Because actually, it is only in the mind, but not outside. Once you come in contact with it, you understand actually there is no pleasure. So the mind exaggerates the level of pleasure that is available. So in such case, like Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mito Bipaddita Griha Vritanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punah Punah Charvita Charvananam. So because the senses are uncontrolled, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that is where already been chewed. Their inclination towards Krishna are never aroused either by the instructions of the others, by their own efforts, or by the combination of both. So these conditioned souls go on chewing the same thing. Chew that is already being chewed. Because first of all, they are ignorant. The surrounding is ignorant. They are blindfolded. The surroundings, the people, the association is also in a blindfolded condition. So ultimately it compounds his material existence. Even if a jiva is alone, he can think about, sometimes there may be a possibility that he may think about devotional service, or he may think about why he is suffering and all these things. But you think you are not suffering. The people around you don't think they are suffering, and they tell you are also not suffering. Then ultimately, there is no chance that the jiva can ever understand or try to understand in a direction that he is suffering. So ultimately, it compounds the condition. So in the minds, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, Bhogeshwara prashaktanam taya prita chetasam vyasayatmika buddhihi samadavana vidyate. In the minds of those who are attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to Supreme Lord does not take place. So what is the solution? There is only one solution, unless and until a devotee comes and hits him with not some but hits him with his the knowledge, what is this word of knowledge which can cut Mahatsve Seva Dwaram Ahur Vimukhtes. So only by the association of the devotees, when he comes due to his agyat sukriti or some sukriti he did in his previous life or in this life, some way he comes in the association of devotees. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. So somehow by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, so such a person, he is helped from within by Krishna and without by the spiritual master. As the saying goes, by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna, one gets the spiritual master. Because ultimately, even the Vaishnavas, they have a limited time, limited capacity. They cannot go to each and every soul and catch them and bring them to Krishna consciousness. So, if a soul has that agyat sukriti, so automatically Krishna will inspire the Vaishnava to go to that soul and give Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, the devotees, the Vaishnavas also have the free will, because they can choose anyone to give Krishna consciousness. They are also, it's not that they are limited. Whoever they can see, they can give Krishna consciousness. And by the association, the soul can also get Krishna consciousness. So by mercy of Guru, they can get Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna, they can get Guru. So basically, Krishna Bhakti is dormant in everyone and only revealed in the association of devotees. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya Shravanasi Siddha Chitte Karaya Udaya. So by watering the seed with hearing and chanting, slowly and gradually one gets taste and one understands the dangers of this material life. So one thing is, outside people are ignorant, but more unfortunate thing is, even after accepting the path of devotional service, the deep-rooted desire for sense gratification is not nullified immediately. It takes time so that the jiva undergoing the process of purification, just like it is, Prabhupada tells, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Because immediately when somebody accepts Krishna consciousness, doesn't become a pure devotee immediately. In the sadhaka level, there are still attachments, deep-rooted desires. Because these desires he has been carrying this for lifetimes and lifetimes. And he has to work on it so that over a period of time, gradually, he can nullify them. So unless and until that deep-rooted desires for sense gratification are not taken out, the smooth sailing will not happen in devotional service. Just like recently, I went home here in Bombay only, Dombivli. So where we had some repairing work there. So we had one wall which was like always wet. Since last one decade, I think, 10-12 years. Whatever was done, applying paints, each and every year we had to apply paints there. Still, it was getting wet. So we used some, waterproofing things. We added waterproofing things, plastered it so many times. Still no effect. Then, ultimately, what is the solution to this? Anyone can say? Brick the wall. Achha. That is a violent solution. Yeah. The solution is, you have to stop the leakage. If you stop the point from where it is leaking actually, then all these things, there is no need to do all these things. If you just stop the leakage and just, it dries up completely and there are no problems at all. So such things, this Krishna consciousness and deep rooted desires for sense gratification, both are there, not possible. You go on continuing your Krishna consciousness along with those desires. I am not telling that it may be in full, force, but those deep rooted desires are always there. So unless and until that part is addressed, it is very difficult to have a smooth sail in the devotional part. Just like I was just remembering yesterday, one devotee, gave a class during this on Ramayana. He was telling when Ram was fighting with Ravana, he was trying, Lord Ramchandra was trying to kill the heads of Ravana. He killed all the 10 heads of Ravana, still it was going on emerging, popping out again and again. So, Lord Ramchandra came to Vibhishana and asked, what is the problem? He is not dying. So then Vibhishana told, such and such, there is something called as nectar in the heart of Ravana. You need a particular astra which can absorb that nectar and then only he can die. Then Lord Ramchandra, okay, then he took the arrow, aimed at Ravana's heart, saw towards Vibhishana, and asked him, shall I shoot? Vibhishana told, yes, shoot. Then he shot the arrow and then Ravana was dead. So that Prabhuji was explaining, there is a free will of each and every jiva. What do you think? Lord Ramchandra didn't know that Ravana has to be killed in that way. He is the Supreme Lord. He knows everything. How to kill Ravana, whether there is nectar in the heart or not there, or whatever there. Everything was known to him. Still he was asking Vibhishana. So the Prabhuji was telling, so Krishna also does not want to interfere with the free will of the jiva. So that nectar within this Ravana, that can be compared to the deep-rooted material desires of the jiva. So until and unless we want it to go away, it will not go away, because Krishna will never interfere with our free will. So that's why Lord Ramchandra asked Vibhishana before shooting, shall I shoot? Then Vibhishana tells, yes, please shoot. And then Krishna shoots and Ravana is dead. So this mentality of this Ravana mentality of accepting some sense gratification along with devotional service, that is always there. So we need to address this issue by more and more hearing, more and more, just like Shravanadi Chitte, Shuddha Chitte, Korohe Udai, watering the seed with hearing and chanting, so that whatever little deep-rooted material desires are left out, even those traces are washed away. And finally, the soul can easily continue his Krishna consciousness journey towards the lotus feet of the Lord. So in this way, here Puranjan has entered the city. He is just observing the city. So different things which are favorable for his sense gratification. Even till these shlokas, if you see, there is not much damage done. But from the further shlokas, which will be seen tomorrow, the damage starts when Mr. Puranjan meets Miss Puranjani, or what that woman. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments or corrections? Please. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.